Good morning.
Good morning, Sensei.
In case I don't catch you before you leave, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. As we all know, Buddhism began in India with the insight that Buddha had upon seeing the morning star, Venus. It grew from there. And meditation was the foundation of Buddhist practice. And eventually, Buddhism spread throughout India and then eventually went to China. And slowly over time, when it got to China, Buddhism was more focused on, as a cultural institution and as a something to have meetings around. It had lost its original nature, which was meditation. So meditation decreased and in many areas vanished. And it was because of this that Zen Buddhism sprung up. And as we all know, the heart of Zen Buddhism is meditation, which we call Zazen, which is to sit Zen. So really, if we take up this practice, the heart of our practice when we come here every day, every week, is Zazen. And when we go to retreats, the heart of the practice is to sit. Our identification with ourselves as Buddhists is much looser now. The house is much more receptive of a variety of religion. The only thing we do is we ask people when we're together, no matter what your religion is to do Zazen. So this is a thing that we all do together. But Zen is not a practice of conversion at all. The only thing it is an invitation to sit Zazen together with other like-minded people. So Zazen brings this practice to life. It's the heart of it. But it doesn't just bring this practice as we sit here. It brings life to life. You know, what is the romantic saying is, "You light up my life. Oh, darling, you light up my life." Well, so in this case, Zazen is our darling. And it does light up our life. So all too infrequently, the actual sitting, the Zazen, doesn't get talked too much about. We talk about Chikantaza, we talk about koans, we talk about precepts and all the different teachings, which are extremely important. This isn't to diminish that. But all of those things don't have the same pizzazz if we don't sit. Koans are just flat tires until we sit, and then they come to life. Zen stories come to life if we're sitting. And the other thing is about sitting is when we sit together in what we call a sangha, it's usually a much more powerful experience than sitting Zazen alone. Now, it doesn't mean we're holding up one against the other, but they're different. Now, the way that we hold our body communicates something. If I'm sitting on my cushion and I look like this, that's communicating to others my intention, the energy that I'm putting into my sitting practice. When I'm sitting like this, I'm also communicating something to myself about my sitting. So just the position itself is vital. And if we sit in the correct way, we create a particular state of consciousness, which is conducive to sitting and sitting silently. So, you know, most of you are familiar with this, but I'll go over it again. There are a variety of sitting positions, and not everybody can sit in the full lotus. In fact, most of us can't. You know, we start out by teaching the full lotus, but as it goes down, it's because we need to adapt our own physiology to sitting. And so we start the full lotus position, and I can't demonstrate it, but there's a lot of yoga people can sit in the full lotus position. They're very limber. But the idea is that we create a pyramid. You know, the legs are out like this, and then it comes up where we're sitting like this. So that's sort of the spirit of it. So then there's the full lotus goes to a half lotus, which is when the foot goes up on the thigh like that. And that's the half lotus. So the Burmese sitting position, this is the way that I sit. Your legs are crossed, but both feet are like this. So that's the Burmese sitting position. And then another position is sitting on cushions or on a bench where our knees are, you know, this way. And the other position that I didn't mention is sitting in a chair. Now, the key thing about any of these is to have a straight but not rigid spine. And as I was about to say, in retreats, a lot of people will start out sitting like this or in a half lotus, a full lotus. But over the days, it gets pretty painful. We can't stay that way. So you'll notice then all of a sudden somebody who's been sitting in the lotus position is sitting on a bench. Well, that has to do with ankles and knees and also our age. So there is no hierarchy. It's however we can adapt our sitting physically. So the position itself is, even though we're sitting straight, this is not military straight. This is in a relaxed way. We have a straight spine with sort of an arch in the lower back. And we sort of imagine that the tip of our head is sort of pointing up to the ceiling. And we drop our chin slightly. Now, normally, this is called the cosmic mudra. There's an active hand and a dormant hand. And so we hold the dormant hand, or the less active hand, not dormant, the less active hand on top. So it looks like this. Everybody is encouraged to sit that way. And I'm teaching the pure sense. Now, I don't sit that way, actually. I sit with my hands like this. Somewhere over the many years, I found that my concentration was better if I did that. Somehow, if I did this, my body was not as still as if I did this. But the way it's typically done, which is like this in your lap. So the spine is slightly curved in. Sort of the top of your head is sort of trying to touch the ceiling, and your chin is slightly lower. Now, the crucial thing about this is not to be rigid, to be like this, erect, but in a very relaxed way. Part of what this does to take this position, so just notice, just do this like this, just slump like this, and then just notice how that feels. You don't have to be exaggerated like I did, but just, you know, let your body sort of collapse, and just notice how that feels. And also notice how it affects your breathing. And now go back to, for whatever position you're sitting in, where your spine is straight and relaxed, the position of your head, however you hold your hands, and notice that position. You know, like I said, what does that communicate to you? And also notice how your breathing is in this position. You'll notice how compressed the breathing is. If you sit straight, the diaphragm goes like this, much more relaxed, and the depth of the breath changes. So, when we sit like this, it's much easier to feel the hara. The hara is if you take three fingers and you put them by your navel, it's someplace just below that. So it's below your navel. And that's where, if you're doing breathing practice, that's where you pay attention to. You're breathing there. Up at Zen Mountain Monastery, when John Lurie was alive, I guess they still do it. To start out, they teach there to watch your breath come in, down your neck, all the way down into your hara. And then let the breath go back up through your body and out through your nose. And that's another thing, unless you have some sort of obstruction in your nose, it's that you're encouraged to breathe through your nose, not through your mouth. And so what they point out is, if you follow the in-breath, you might notice that the in-breath is cool, especially if you look at, if you feel it in your mouth and your throat. And then it goes in all the way down into your heart, and as it comes out, the exhalation is warmer. It's not a bad idea as in getting yourself settled. That's a way of paying attention, bringing your attention to the breathing before you go down into your hara. And if you just watch the temperature, just feel the temperature, it makes it easier to pay attention to that, to get connected to the breath. Another thing which I didn't mention, when we first sit down, we want to find our center so we can rock like that and from side to side. And you'll see, try it, you'll see that if you just relax, your body just naturally goes to its center. So let's get ourselves centered. Let your shoulders relax, not slump, but relax. Notice where the top of your head is and your chin. Notice how your legs are, whether you're sitting or sitting in a full lotus position. You may want to look when you're, if you sit in a chair, it's a little bit more difficult to maintain an upright position. So a lot of us will put a cushion in our lower back, and it sort of creates the same stability that sitting in the pyramid position does. Okay, so we're take up that position. Now this is an important part. We don't close our eyes fully. And the reason for that is it's very easy to produce thoughts and to get dreamy. So we focus on a point, an imaginary point, about 2 or 3 feet away, and we drop our gaze there, and it's about 3/4 shut. But that other quarter, we focus to begin with on that spot. And you'll notice pretty soon your eyes will be focused on that spot, but you know, you will not be taking in information about it or thinking about it. It'll sort of disappear, but your eyes will still be 3/4 open. Now the other thing, and this is very important in Zazen and what Zazen contributes, is that when we sit like this and we allow the body to breathe naturally and we're relaxed and we don't have our eyes totally closed, slowly through the period, many times, not always, you'll find that the thinking is less. Now, that can be influenced by a variety of things, though. You know, if you had 3 cups of coffee before coming to the Zendo, it's going to be a lot harder to not be cranking out the thoughts. This is all like practice. I've mentioned this 100 times before, but it's like learning to do any activity, learn to be a potter, learning to play tennis. You don't get good at it unless you keep practicing it over and over and over again. And it's not the practice and becoming familiar and comfortable with the practice. If you look at one of those graphs, it's not a line from down here straight up. It's a very wavy line. You know, we do it well sometimes, and other times we seem that all we do is think. And so when we're sitting Zazen, it's not about creating an argument or a fight with yourself because you're thinking too much. You're not comparing. If we're thinking, we're thinking. So that's the ingredients that we work with. So we have the thought and we notice it and then just let it go. And go back to our breathing, right? Whether you're counting or just breathing or you're breathing a koan. And so you go back and then all of a sudden you're thinking again. So it's not, oh, shit, you know, it's just, thinking, and then just go back. So you want to create a gentle and friendly relationship with your breathing, not a struggle. So that's it. That's Zazen. But the act of Zazen, this is an overused word, but is really a sacred position that has a profound influence on our lives. And not only ourselves, but the world and the way we interact with others. So in that sense, it's a sacred activity. And this is Christmas time. We exchange gifts. But probably if we do this practice, the greatest gift that we can give ourselves is to sit Zazen. And the other thing, just to throw in this time of the year, I find it helpful at the beginning of each year, each new year, to commit myself, to recommit myself to the practice, and particularly to do Zazen as frequently as I can. Again, not in a rigid way. You know, we're all householders, so we have to find a way to move harmoniously with our practice as householders. So no struggle with that. It's just the way it is. You know, we don't live in a monastery. We live in a house or an apartment. But usually there are other people around. And even if there aren't other people, there's the Times and there's the iPad, and, you know, all sorts of other things that can take more importance than sitting. Okay, so that's your Christmas gift. Thank you.